Chapter 4 of Proverbs is our text. As I've said several times, it's difficult to outline the book of Proverbs because it comes in sections. The first nine chapters are Solomon. He tells us very clearly this is Solomon's word to his son. And there's no other way to take it. But every section is a different thought. And there are three sections in the text this morning. I'm going to do the whole of chapter 4. And just so you can follow as I'm reading, you can note each section by God saying, sons, sons, our son, listen. So give your attention to the reading of the word of God. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Far from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And Heavenly Father, do bless to our understanding this reading of your infallible, inerrant word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Entitled this, The Practice of Wisdom, or Wisdom's Practice. I couldn't think of, it's hard to, it's a general title to describe the practical instruction that is given here. This is wisdom coming from Solomon to his son. Wisdom that he was taught by his father, who we know was King David. If we trace that lineage back, we know it goes, that godly heritage descended from Boaz and beyond, which is a message. It's a message of the spiritual legacy that godly parents are to deliver to their children and to their grandchildren and beyond. We believe in a covenant-keeping God. The promise is not only to you as a godly parent to your children, it's to their children, as many as the Lord shall call until he returns. So you see this very much in the book of Proverbs. It's interesting to think about in regard to who Solomon is. Solomon, David's son, by an illicit relationship with the wife of Uriah the Hittite. We all know his glaring sin in his life. Solomon is the second son born of that marriage. The first one tragically died at childbirth. So keep that in mind as well. This is not a book about perfect people writing. The Holy Spirit is using a very imperfect vessel from a very imperfect family background to make the most important spiritual points that could ever be possibly made. And it's a reminder. It's a reminder that even the best of human fathers, like mighty King David, like the wisest king of all, Solomon, are still flawed. That was in the old covenant. We had certainly true that we have more grace, more information than even David and Solomon, but it is nonetheless true about human nature and even redeemed human nature. There is the fact of remaining sin. But it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth of the gospel. Young people so often will point at their parents or their grandparents or leaders in the church and rightly say, well, look at what you did. Look at your hypocrisy. As if to discount the whole of the Christian faith, when the truth is, it's God's word. Solomon wants to impart to his son what David imparted to him. Some of us are at the grandparent stage. Some of you have the joy of being grandparents, and congratulations. What a wonderful privilege. But don't think you're just done. Don't think your job is just to spoil your grandchildren and take them back to your children to torture them. That's not your job. Your job is every bit as much to impart to them the truth of the gospel, and to remember that the promise is to you and to your children and to your children's children and to as many as are far off, as many as call upon the name of the Lord. The picture in this first section, this wisdom that he is seeking to impart, is to make the choice between two women. It's an analogy that runs through Proverbs, and so you have to get this analogy because it just runs through it. There's the woman of wisdom, and she is gracious. She is attractive. She has succeeded in life, and there are all kinds of things that commend her. And there is that woman. And then there's this other woman, and her name is Folly. And she is devious, she is deceitful and charming, and lures people in and destroys them. It's really, if you want a theme of Proverbs, that's the theme of Proverbs. And the urging of Solomon, if you read about his downfall, you can just turn over to 1 Kings chapter and begin at verse chapter 10, 11, and 12, and following. You can see what I'm talking about, how he forgot his advice. He forgot what God told him that he had written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And to Solomon, and I'm glad there's more of Scripture. The rest of the story for Solomon is the book of Ecclesiastes. You have to read the book of Ecclesiastes. But he chooses wrongly. But here he urges the truth. Choose wisely. Choose wisdom. Choose the woman of discretion. Choose the woman of honor. And avoid the house of wickedness. This section, this first section of chapter 4 calls to mind wedding vows, because this is what she's going to do for you. She's going to give you the wedding garments, and at the end of verses 8 and 9, she's going to embrace you, and she's going to nurture you and be the best thing that has ever happened to you. And those of you who have had the privilege of being in a godly marriage, you may know exactly what Solomon is talking about, the blessing that comes from that. But how do we, this applies to everyone. And this is the way we're to see it. We're just past the pagan celebration of erotic love that is really bizarre time. And men, I hope you all did a wonderful thing for your wife on Valentine's Day. See me afterwards if you didn't. But people are so disappointed in that passion. I heard this week that the day before Valentine's Day is the biggest breakup day of the year. Because no human being can ever fulfill what only God can fulfill. And that's the language in these verses. You should pursue wisdom, the woman of wisdom, which is a metaphor for the word of God, for the word of Jesus Christ, as passionately as you possibly can. And prize her as highly as you can, and she will honor you. And you will get honor, and you will get love like no human being can ever provide for you. Harkens back to that great passionate love story of David's ancestor, Boaz, who married Ruth. And the same kind of romantic language where, yes, I will stand up and I will be the man and I will make the sacrifice to receive this woman as my wife, and I will honor and protect her and pledge her my life. That is what happened, and the honor that came through the generations of Boaz, through Obed to David, is a legacy of faith, again, as we see at the beginning of the chapter. Second, wicked people are to be avoided. That's the next section. Beginning at verse 10. Again, listen up, my son. Hear, my son. Listen, my son. Pay attention. Accept my words. So you'll have a long life. If you want a long life, you're going to listen to this. Again, it's a message. Don't think you know everything. This is one of those dangerous habits to ever have, is to think that you know everything. There's nothing more difficult to try to tell someone something they need to hear when all you hear from them is, I know, I know, I know. When you know they don't know. And that's basically what Solomon is saying here. Listen, Pay attention. And if you don't listen, this will cost you your life. This is your life. Guard it. Be careful with it. There are things that we say this, when military metaphors come to mind. You know, don't lose your rifle. Don't use your weapon. That could cost you your life. No, there are certain things. When you're driving a vehicle, don't run red lights. Don't obey the posted speed limit. If you don't, it could cost you your life. Guard your life. That's the kind of thoughts. And we do that in human life. We're careful. There are certain things that can kill you. And that's what he's using as a spiritual metaphor. There are certain things that if you don't listen to and if you don't pay attention to, it will kill you spiritually forever. Avoid it. Avoid them at all costs. And what is it in particular he's talking about? It's those who are wicked. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Don't go there. Turn away from it. Pass by it. So many people are on a dark path, in a dark path, in a dark place. We use that metaphor for people who are experiencing severe depression often. And there are various reasons for that. But this is a dark spiritual path. This is a path of destruction that a person can get on. And it's very easy to get on that path. It's very easy to get on it in such a way that you don't recover from it. Our Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, talked about this path. Enter the narrow gate. This is verse 13 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The road to destruction has an easy on-ramp. It's just there. It is a broad highway with many lanes. The road to life is very well marked. It's very singular, though. It's very singular. And there are all kinds of things distracting people from it. It's a straight road marked by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And there's all kinds of darkness. The particular kind of darkness that the book of Proverbs is speaking of is those who lead people into wickedness and violence. There are all kinds of gangs and all kinds of bad company to run with. It's interesting to me that every time I read 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, when the Apostle Paul teaches about the glory of the bodily resurrection, that's stuck right in the middle of it in verse 33, is this admonition: be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. talking about the gospel. The old saying is, misery loves company, and it's true. It's also true what this Solomon is saying here. Evil companions love company. They're not content to go to hell by themselves. They want to drag you with them if they possibly can. It's not merely moral darkness. It's spiritual darkness. I've been amazed in the last months of the numbers of reports of those who are being actively recruited from biblically based sound teaching into Romanism and legalism, recruiting actively away from the faith that is once and for all delivered by the scriptures. Religious darkness is every bit as wicked as moral darkness. And the only hope is deliverance through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else can save you. And then finally, the last admonition I would point out from this text begins in verse 20. My son, listen to my words. Incline your ears. When you hear the gospel preached and you hear it taught, you need to stand up and pay attention carefully. Pay close attention, because it is a promise of life and health to all who believe it. The metaphor is eyes and ears and heart and lips and hands. Every part. It's an expression, a Hebrew expression that means every single part of life, referring to the whole. And this verse 23 is one you should memorize and meditate upon constantly. Keep your heart. I think it says guard your heart in the New American Standard and the King James. Guard your heart with all vigilance, it says in the ESV. It should says, I memorized it in the New American Standard. It says diligence. Same thing, vigilance, diligence. Guard your heart with everything. Because your spiritual life depends on it. Because your heart is the center of your being and your personality. It's who you are before God. Guard it, for out of it comes the springs of life, or the issues of life, your very relationship with God. Pay attention. I know we're in a small room, and so this doesn't necessarily apply, but if you've ever been in a class setting, like I have many times, I've come to notice that it's the really attentive people who sit up front. No offense, I know that we got parents and people back there, but they're the ones who are bearing down. They're paying attention. They want to get it so they can impart it. Same is true of the meetings. I'm one of those. I want the back seat. I want to watch what everyone else is doing. I've been that way at Presbyterian General Assembly for years, and I'm grateful for Dr. Jay Bruce. He made me go up front. We're going to go up front. I'm so glad. There's a whole different perspective from the front. And that's what Solomon is telling us through the Word of God. We need to pay attention. We need to be up front. We need to see what's going on. We need to stand at attention and hear God's commands that come from the Scripture Wonderful. We've been having a wonderful Sunday school class, and Jeff's been teaching from Gospel of John and then going through other places, so many places in the New Testament that say over and over again how the Lord Jesus and the apostles opened the scriptures and took the prophecies and pointed out the truth of who Jesus is and what he requires of us. The Word of God is the revelation of God. These aren't instructions that are coming from the drill sergeant or from the football coach or the basketball coach or the stern teacher where you learned your most valuable lessons, which were extremely important, from your parents who set you down and said things to you that you didn't want to hear, but later on they saved your life because they finally got down into your heart and mind. These are more important than that, as important as those things are. In fact, many of those things were no doubt based in the Word of God. Keep your heart with all vigilance or diligence, for out from it flow the springs of life, the issues of life. I love being from the state of Arkansas. I love Johnny Cash, and I love his songs, but his life was a mess. He was a mess. He used to sing a song that's so apt, that speaks like this. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. But when he wrote it, he didn't. There's another hymn I love, and it has that line, "I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We know we wander, but our hearts need to be sealed for his courts above. If we do that, our path will be straight. We will stay straight. We will speak straight. We will look straight. We will walk straight. We will stay focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the narrow way that leads to life. We will be morally straight. I mean, I had to look it up. I know the Boy Scouts used to take an oath that they would be morally straight. I had to look it up. Do they still take that oath? They do. They still do. Or the Scouts, I think they call it now. Which is ironic. But that's what we're called to be. Straight on the path to the righteousness of Christ. It is the power of the gospel, and it is the only thing that has the power to transform your life and to keep your life. You need a new heart, a new life. And that surgery can only be performed by the Holy Spirit, making it clear to you. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone is the only way to have life everlasting. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for the substitutionary death of Christ for our sins. We're so grateful for the Word of God, Old and New Testament, that speaks and points so clearly to the one who is the wisdom of God, who is the Word of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him. We acknowledge how often we have wandered off the path and how sometimes we are stuck in the ditch of our own self-pity and our own self-righteousness. Father, forgive us. Help us, pull us out, put us back on the path of righteousness and keep us there. Keep us focused upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, give us grace to repent and turn to you and trust in you alone for our life, now and for our life forever. And we pray this for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters here and throughout the world, that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ more deeply, and that message, we would bring it to others as well. A world that is desperately seeking satisfaction in other things, may they find it and seek it in you and you alone, Lord Jesus. For we pray in your name. Amen.